Ocean FM's Agri Week with John Lynch.
Hello, and you're very welcome along to another edition of Agri Week. My name is John Lynch, and for the next 30 minutes or so, we will be discussing all the big agricultural matters that are impacting on the Northwest region. Coming up on the programme this week, we're going to be talking to a leading member of the Beef Plan movement. Now, Gerard Pilkington, who's the chair of the Beef Plan movement in Sligo, and indeed is also the national vice chair of the association, will join us to tell us why there is an urgent need for a beef regulator to be appointed. So that's a beef regulator to be appointed to the industry immediately. We'll find out why the Beef Plan movement are calling for this to take place urgently. And then later in the programme, we'll be joined by Pádraig Fallon, a councillor in North Leitrim, who's going to be telling us a little bit about the latest situation that's developed at the Dawn of Hope in North Leitrim. Now, that's all to do with Shass Mountain, where there was a major landslide last year. Well, now it's turned out that some of the debris from that landslide has been removed but placed on turf banks. We'll find out the latest about that a little bit later on. So, plenty to come, as always, on Agri Week. We do look forward to the pleasure of your company.
Ocean FM's Agri Week, where farmers across the Northwest have their say.
Well, to get us underway this week, pressure is increasing on the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConnellogue, to appoint an independent beef regulator. The Beef Plan movement have reiterated their calls in recent days for the establishment of such a position. Now, the Beef Plan movement says the introduction of a regulator would afford greater protection for the producers and indeed consumers with an emerging international trading environment now on the horizon. There has been a large drop in beef prices recently, and this is causing huge levels of frustration among farmers that claim demand, especially among supermarkets, is still exceptionally high. Well, Sligo farmer Gerard Pilkington is the vice chair of the National Beef Plan Movement. He now joins me on the programme. Gerry, you're very welcome along to the show. So the obvious question to get us underway here is, why the urgent need for a beef regulator at the moment?
Well, as you know, John, over the last couple of years, especially in the last 12 months, I suppose, as a result of the factory protests in 2019, the Beef Market Task Force was set up to address issues of concern within the beef industry. The task force, I suppose, has become embedded in other issues and other topics and sideshows and distractions. So the cartel and the anti-competitive practices that we're all well aware of in the beef industry still exists, and they go unabated. Now, a regulator, we feel, to be established now, specifically for the beef industry, would address, well, we'll say first off, a regulator would have to be appointed independently and would have to have the statutory powers required to address what's going on within the beef industry.
Now, at this stage, I presume, are those involved in factories, etc., would strongly dispute your claims there about cartels, and they would see that they would claim that they are given a fair price for animals and they're not here to defend themselves. So we'll just put that argument forward on their behalf. Equally so, they would say that the position of an ombudsman here would suffice, but you're saying no. So what would the big differences be between a regulator and an ombudsman at this, for this particular position?
Well, our understanding of it, and I'd say most people or anybody that has ever had experience of going through an ombudsman's office, it's more or less a complaints department, where if you have a complaint or an issue of concern and you write to your ombudsman, he'll investigate your complaint and he'll come back and he'll tell you X, Y or Z is the outcome of their investigation. And that's as far as it can go. But if we get a regulator set up for the beef industry, a regulator with statutory powers, he could investigate many parts of what goes on within the industry. We'll say, for example, over trim in the kill lines. There was an agreement, we'll say, for example, through the Beef Market Task Force that the processors would install weighbridges at their layerages. That hasn't happened. There was also agreement that there would be no weight limit introductions or cuts without notification to the finishers or to the suppliers. That hasn't happened. Now, there also needs to be an examination of the profit along the supply chain. Become known now recently and through the task force, it's referred to as transfer pricing. This would give a breakdown of all the profits made off an animal right through the supply chain, right out to the end consumer.
And that transparency is of vital importance. So I think it's important to add here as well, Gerard, that a lot of the calls you have made there would definitely benefit the producers and the farmers who would be supplying the beef. But equally so, for the benefit of our listeners, it's important to put it out there as well that the establishment of a regulator would be good news for the consumer. Because let's face it, there's concerns out there about beef. Say, for instance, and I'm going to use this, I know it mightn't be a huge player at the moment, but I'm going to use it as an example nonetheless, and that, of course, is Mercosur.
Well, Mercosur definitely hasn't gone away. And the understandings last year was that if any member state of the European Union opposed the Mercosur deal or the importation of South American beef into Europe, that part of the Mercosur deal would be extinguished. It wouldn't go ahead. But it's still apparently a topic currently in relation to the importation of beef.
So therefore, the point that I'm making there, and that would back it up, you know, that a regulator would be of advantageous for the consumer as well as the producer.
Well, he would, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And another part of his remit, if he was appointed, would be the issue around labelling. From the consumer's point of view, because, you know, for the last number of years, there's been a lot of concern raised in relation to labelling. There is imported beef coming into the processing plants in this country from different EU countries, which under trade laws and trade agreements is the way business is done. But the one thing of concern in relation to labelling, when the housewife or the consumer goes to the supermarket and she picks up her meat off the shelf, it's never labelled as being from, we'll say, Poland or France or the UK. So labelling is an issue, and this is an issue that's, from the consumer point of view, that the regulator could investigate.
Yeah, so what you're saying there is you could have maybe beef produced in Poland or some other country, but labelled or packaged in Ireland.
Yes, we believe that for once it goes through a process, a certain cost, a percentage of the cost in producing a product, if that cost is incurred here, it can be labelled as a product of Ireland.
All right. Correct me here if I'm wrong, Gerard, on this, but the current Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConlogue, and he was a spokesperson for agriculture during the last term of Fianna Fáil in opposition, was this not something that he was calling for, a regulator, back in the day?
Yeah, back in the day, as a sitting TD in the Donegal North East constituency, I believe, he did, and he's on public record, calling for a regulator for the industry. But for some unknown reason now, he seems to have turned away from the requirement of a regulator, and he feels that a food ombudsman would be sufficient. A food ombudsman would be sufficient from a consumer point of view. It may highlight issues for the consumer, but for the producer, for the primary producer, it still doesn't give the necessary protections. Like, the list goes on and on, John, as to where, and even last week, like, we have called, the Beef Fan Movement have called for an urgent recall of the task force to address the price issues that occurred. The price has been paid from factories for the last 2 weeks. We have called on the chairperson of the task force to bring Bord Bia and Meat Industry Ireland to the task force and explain to the producers, the finishers, what downward pressure in the markets in the last 3 weeks has driven a downward price of up to 20 cent a kilo. Now, that's something that needs to be addressed urgently, because from research done over the last couple of months, there's no market, none of the markets that Ireland supplies with beef are oversupplied. They're not overproduced. It's a known fact that imported beef from both South America and Australia, and meat, sheep meat coming from New Zealand, lamb from New Zealand, they're all, like, the South American imports to Europe is reduced by 30%, up to 30%.
They have, and also the other factors here, which surprises me when I hear you say that, is that, you know, Easter is just around the corner. Ramadan is another era again where the production of beef very much looks forward to. So you would imagine that all the circumstances are there that should be driving a huge demand for beef at the moment, but yet that's not being reflected in the price, which flies against the basic economic policies of supply and demand.
Well, you see, it's the retailer that drives the these promotions at these, like we'll say, what we've seen on Valentine's weekend, 50% and 30% reduction in the price of beef on the shelf. It's the retailer that drives that. But my understanding of these contracts between the processors and the retailers, when they're making the deals to supply the beef for the 6 month contract or the 12 month contract, the processors price all these, and the retailers, they price all these discount weekends into their plan for the year. And to counter any cost to the processor to make that deal with the retailer, the processor automatically passes it back to the producer. There's no protection, as we stand, there is no protection for the beef finishers or the beef producers here in Ireland.
So if you pardon the pun, Gerard, the farmers aren't feeling the love after the price reductions on Valentine's weekend.
Well, definitely. I couldn't imagine so now, unless there was somebody very well specially looked after for the weekend. I can't see any man that was, would say in the matter of 2 weeks there, the value of an onion dropped, I think, from 150 to 300 euros.
Yeah, and that's a major drop. Now, there's time pressures on this as well due to European law that has to be tangled up with Irish law here as well?
Yes. A directive from Europe in relation to unfair trading practices, it has to be transposed into Irish law before the 1st of May this year. That's only 2 months down the line. Now, the beef plan movement have made several attempts during beef market task force talks to get this on the table for discussion, and to no avail. But over the last 3 weeks, John, the beef plan movement have written to every elected TD in the Dáil. 173 emails went out 3 weeks ago to every TD. Now, I'm going to have to be honest here and say that our elected representatives leave a lot to be desired, and that's being kind. They leave a lot to be desired. In our own constituency, up until yesterday, only two of our TDs have responded. To my knowledge now, I could be open to correction on that. That might have changed since yesterday. We, as an organisation now, in every county in Ireland, have written or are in the process of writing to elected councillors to table a motion to support our call for a regulator within the industry. And I think, we'll say, taken here in County Sligo, Roscommon, Leitrim, Donegal, it's of critical interest that our councillors back this call, because going forward, farmers can't sustain the losses they're incurring over the last 2 years. Each and every finisher, they'll tell you that they're digging into their cap payments, they're checking the post. That checking the post is to aid farmers to produce a low-cost food for Europe. And that's more or less classed as being his salary for doing that. But now he's digging into that to underpin the production of beef. And now we're well aware that each finisher and each producer in this country is producing beef at below cost. Chagas figures and Chagas research say that it's costing €4.50 a kilo to produce beef. But we're working on base prices, base price quotes from the factories. This week, I think, as low as €3.65 a kilo for steers. And the amazing thing about, you know, the quotes from the factories, and the meat industry in Ireland will tell you that, oh no, there's no collaboration, there isn't a cartel in operation. Well, all you've got to do is refer back to last week's Farmers Journal and the quotes that came out from the factories. Each and every processing plant in the country quoted exactly the same price for steers, heifers, cows, bulls, young bulls, the whole lot, each different category of animal. Each and every factory, each and every processing plant in the country, bar one, quoted exactly the same price for each category of animal.
Ocean FM's Agri Week, number one in the Northwest for farming matters.
Let's return next to the whole situation surrounding Shass Mountain in North Leitrim and the Dawn of Hope, a story that we've covered extensively over the past almost a year or so now at this stage. And it's emerged now that some of the debris arising from that landslide has been placed on turf banks in the area close by to where the landslide took place. Now, the issue was recently raised at the Manor Hamilton Municipal District meeting of Leitrim County Council. It was raised by local councillor Porrick Fallon, who claims that the turbidity rights of some of the farmers there and other people have been impacted as a result of this. So Councillor Fallon, in many ways this is probably adding insult to injury to the farmers who have had lands damaged, destroyed in some cases in this particular area, and now those with turbidity rights aren't going to be able, it seems, to get access to turf this year.
Well, that's exactly it, John. I suppose, look, as you'll know, and as everybody will be aware, landowners have facilitated all work and access to various departments while works were going on. Essentially, what happened here was some of the debris was brought up and it was left on turf banks, which are only approximately 20 metres from the bridge itself. And it now means that those with turbidity rights there will not be able to cut their turf. Their banks are covered. And essentially what I've asked really is, you know, that the local authority and Quiltshire make contact with these landowners or those whose turbidity rights are impacted. And I've asked them to do that as quickly as possible.
And the council are saying that these debris was brought away, it was left on a site owned by Quiltshire, and that they were unaware that there was any turbidity rights in the area.
Well, yes, exactly. Well, my understanding of what happened here was that the local authority sought permission from Quiltshire. Quiltshire gave them that permission. They don't appear to have been aware of the fact that there were turbidity rights there. Now, I suppose, you know, that's well and good, but, you know, the matter still arises where turbidity rights are impacted and that needs to be addressed. The individuals with those turbidity rights would have, you know, had to work to secure those banks over the years, you know. There would be a history to that itself in securing their turbidity rights there, and that's why this small area ground was not planted like the rest of the ground around it.
All right. So as a result of that now, some of those who are impacted by this would probably be landowners that had land damaged as well. So is the many impacted there? Would there be many that would be having turbidity rights here that won't be able to access turf?
Yeah, no, there are only a few that are impacted really with regard to the turbidity rights on this particular site. But, you know, however, their rights are impacted and something needs to be done to address that. I suppose, you know, one of them, what they said to me actually is, you know, when you look at that and when you look at it in the context of what's been done to remove turfery rights or to stop people from cutting turf, you know, I suppose there's been a national campaign around turf cutting ongoing for a number of years as well. So, you know, it is a very live issue, and it's a very live issue for some. For many more than others, you know. But there's no doubt this issue needs to be addressed, and it needs to be sorted out. And those that are affected need to be allowed access to their banks. Because essentially here what's happened now is, you know, access to their banks has been removed from them.
Yeah, and those farmers and those turf owners are, that own those property rights are no doubt about it being impacted. Can I just go back to you briefly, Councillor Fallon, in general to the whole recovery or clean-up operation there that has taken place? And
yes,
recently we spoke to Deputy Martin Kinney on the issue.
Yes.
He had tabled a number of motions in the Dáil. He mentioned how you were working very closely with him on this particular project. The lack of progress being made, we take, is very frustrating for those impacted most.
Well, it is, and look, you know, within a week or two now, we will see the applications come out for the BPS and the ANC, you know, for the farming schemes. And while there are a number of meetings that have taken place and where stakeholders have been at them, what I am being told and what I hear and what appears to be happening here is that the Department of Agriculture is really sidestepping the issue here. You know, there is a steering group. But yet again, and I want to reiterate this point, you know, landowners facilitated all works. They facilitated access to the various departments, you know, to agriculture, the environment, to local government, the OPW. We had ministers, there were professors from down doing studies. And, you know, in return, one must ask themselves, what are those landowners getting? You know, the landowners that are impacted really are getting that here. What they are facing is a significant decrease in their income, in their agricultural income, because this land at the moment, already they've lost, some of them have lost grazing, you know, they've lost fodder, but now their actual payments may be impacted, because if this land isn't eligible, when those maps and that go in on the 15th of May, you know.
And in many ways you might be thinking here, well, perhaps they should be entitled to compensation with their lands being damaged. But now what you're telling us here is perhaps the opposite of compensation being guaranteed, that their payments that they would be getting under the BPS and ANC heretofore, that they now have been seriously threatened as well.
That's it. And anybody who farms will know that. Land eligibility will be an issue here, will be an issue here, sort of, you know. And, you know, the department needs to address any issues, you know, arising here. And what I've asked Deputy Kinney to do is, you know, to talk to Minister McConnell, and he did talk to Minister McConnell, and in fairness, I believe that Mr. McConnell listened to him. But we need to, in the immediate, we need to ensure that there's no reduction in payments of those affected here. You know, it's a ridiculous situation. This is a situation which has occurred, and it is through no fault of any of the farmers there.
And that is about it from this edition of Agri Week. Thank you very much indeed for the pleasure of your company. Don't forget, we're back again next week. And as always, there is a podcast of this particular show available on the Ocean FM website, or indeed wherever you get your podcasts from. So from John Lynch, from all of us on Agri Week, stay safe out there. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.